your copy of God's Word to Luke chapter 8. Give our attention again this morning to this section of chapter 8. So we'll read verses 1 through 21 again this morning. Luke chapter 8, let's hear the word of God. Soon afterward, Jesus went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd of people was gathered from town after town, they came to him, and he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. Some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what the parable meant, he said, "To you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they're in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and the time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. For the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away." Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Let's pray. Father, each of us here need the work of your word and spirit this morning. Father, we need your word to cut to the very division of bone and marrow. We need your word to pierce us, to expose us. Father, we need your word to do its work, that we might be healed by it, that we might hear with faith, that we might hear and do. Father, that we might be good soil this morning. So, Father, we ask that you'd come, that you would send your spirit, he would lift up Christ in our midst this morning, and Father, that you would be glorified. In Jesus we pray. Amen. You can grow up in a Christian home. You can pray some kind of a prayer at a young age. You can come to Sunday school and church and study the Bible on occasion, agreeing with everything you see there. You can live a life where you don't plunge into heinous and overt and external sins. You get married, you love your wife, you have kids, you bring them here Sunday after Sunday, you work hard at your job, and at the end of your life, when you die and stand before the throne of judgment, be cast into hell. Righteously, justly. In other words, you can think you are a Christian. You can appear to others as a Christian and be as lost as the stony ground hearer who falls away in the day of testing. You can think you are a Christian. You can appear to others as a Christian and be just as liable to judgment and condemnation as the hard path hearer who is completely indifferent to the Word of God in the gospel. In other words, you can believe yourself to be saved and be eternally lost. Friends, life and eternity are at stake in our hearing of the gospel of the kingdom. Life and eternity are at stake in our hearing of the whole counsel of God, week in and week out, day in and day out, in whatever avenue and means that it comes to us. Every time we open this word and read it, life and eternity are at stake in our hearing of it. Every time it is opened and heralded and proclaimed here in this gathering, life and eternity are at stake in our hearing of it. Every time your parents open it to you around the table or in the living room, every time a friend brings it to you and opens it before you, life and eternity are at stake in your hearing of it. And so, friends, with the urgency of verse 18 in our minds, let's hear it again. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, but the one who has not, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. With the urgency of verse 18, let's come to this text again this morning. Let's face the reality of it. Even as we sit here, as we sang, brothers, would you pray as we try to preach the word? Pray for your hearing of the word in these moments, in these minutes. Pray that as this word is opened up, that the Spirit of the living God would expose the state of your heart before him. Pray that through this word, even if it exposes you as a thorny ground here, that in that grace you would be led to true repentance and a genuine saving faith in Jesus, the eternal Son of God, who came to seek and save the lost. Take care then how you hear. I want to open up this word this morning first by opening the details of this specific section. We've looked already at the first soil, the hard path soil where the word of God is sown and it doesn't penetrate in any sense. The soil, the heart of that hearer remains indifferent to both the warnings and the promises of the gospel. It remains indifferent to the realities of the holiness and awfulness of the majestic and true and living God. It remains indifferent to the tremblings and the thunderings of His law. It remains indifferent to the sweetness and the savor of the grace and love of God that's been demonstrated in the life and death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. And we've looked at the rocky ground hearer, the rocky ground heart, the ground that doesn't allow for the genuine root to go down, the ground that springs up with joy at the hearing of the gospel, at the hearing of the word of God, and yet is demonstrated to be bad soil. It's demonstrated to be no saving faith when the time of testing, when the pressures of persecution, of suffering come in and it withers away. Instead of being pressed to abide in the provision of Jesus, it abandons its profession of faith. So this morning we come to the third soil, the thorny ground soil. And in looking at the details here at the beginning, I hope to demonstrate what I said in the beginning. This reality that you can think you are a Christian, you can appear to others as a Christian, and you can be just as lost as the stony ground here that falls away in the face of persecution. You can be just as condemned as the hard path here who's completely indifferent to the word of God. Look at the details of the parable and then the details of the explanation. Jesus says that some of the seed, the word of God, falls among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. So the first thing we want to observe is that these thorns are present from the beginning in this soil. We're going to look later at what the thorns are, but notice first that they're present from the beginning in this soil. The second thing we want to notice is look what it says there in the parable. The thorns grew up with it. The thorns grew up with it. So unlike the hard path soil, which produces nothing, and unlike the stony ground soil, which springs up quickly, produces a flash in the pan, but then withers and dies, and it's shown to be false, the thorny ground soil produces a kind of plant, produces a kind of belief, produces a kind of stalk that grows, has the appearances of a living plant, leaves, maybe it's green. It grows up, Jesus says in the parable. There's something there to observe. But then notice what Jesus says in his description. These thorns that were there in the beginning that grow up with it as they are growing together, the thorns choke out the life of the plant such that, unlike the stony ground soil where the plant withers and dies, it's got no root, it's gone. That person where they had joy and it looked like a lively faith falls away as quickly as they began, and when the pressures and persecutions come, they're out. They're gone. This plant remains. Just hear the gradualness in the parable. We see the sowing, and then there's the growing. But as the thorns grow up with the plant, they choke it, such that not the plant dies, but its fruit does not mature, says Luke. The other Gospels say it does not bear fruit. So we see from the details of the parable that there is the appearance of good things here in this soil. There's a plant that's growing, and everyone can look and say, there's a plant there. It looks good. It's only much later that we see that the thorns, being allowed to grow up with it, gradually do their work and choke. They press in. They take the sustenance from the soil. They block out the light around the plant. And though the stalk remains, no fruit is found on it. The fruit does not mature. This is a description of someone who looks, from a distance at least, without careful searching observation, both to themselves and to others, as though they have a genuine saving faith. They look like a believer. But as we see in this parable and as we see throughout the scriptures, there is ultimately no such thing as a fruitless Christian. There is no such thing as a true and genuine branch grafted into Christ Himself that never bears fruit. So in John 15, Jesus says those fruitless branches would be cast into the fire. They're not genuinely united to Christ. So the details of the parable show us those realities, and they ought to stop us here. We ought to recognize that here is a danger that perhaps more than the dangers of the other soils is more subtle and more prevalent than anything else in the church today. Thorny ground hearers who look to themselves on a surface level examination and look to others from the outside as a true and real stalk, and yet the thorns are growing up alongside the plant, gradually but genuinely choking the Word of God, such that it will not bear fruit in their lives. So let's look at the dangers in this soil. Jesus tells us what those thorns are. The thorns that were there from the beginning and were allowed to grow up unhindered, undealt with. Three things. First, cares. Cares of life. Cares of life. Nothing surprising here. You know, we say, okay, what's going to threaten the faith? What's going to lead to someone not bearing fruit in their lives? We might expect something striking, dragons, big enemies, huge and heinous and disgusting sins. Do those things threaten faith? Yes, they do. But here we have enemies far more subtle. The cares of life. What are those? Jesus talks about them when he tells his disciples, you know, consider the, lilies of the field. They don't spin clothing for themselves, but look at how they're clothed. Consider the birds, the air. You know, they don't build barns, they don't cultivate fields. The cares of life are very normal things. Food, clothing, shelter. Don't seem so dangerous, do they? But Luke tells us there's a danger here. Cares allowed to grow up, allowed to suck life and energy and time and devotion, cares undealt with according to Scripture, will, like those thorns, come around that plant, suck the energies out of the soil, block the sunlight from giving life and energy, and ultimately will leave a plant that bears no fruit. Are cares growing up undealt with in your heart? Normal things. Clothing. Food. Shelter. There's many ways that they can grow up and be allowed to take over like they do in this parable. There's many ways that they could be manifesting and outing you as a thorny ground hearer. Do they consume your thoughts? What will I eat? What will I wear? What kind of home will I live in? This can happen different ways for different people. Perhaps you're facing a time of need in your life. You've faced it frequently. And for you, it's just overwhelming. It's overpowering you, the cares of the world, and you just kind of leave them there. Growing up, overwhelming your thoughts and your mind. Notice it's not just the presence of the cares that will ultimately choke out the plant and not allow it to bear fruit. Jesus assumes all of us will experience those cares. Jesus assumes all of us will deal with cares and anxieties. So does Paul, so does the Old Testament, the whole of the Bible assumes it. But the thorny ground here does not receive the Word of God with faith. The thorny ground here, when faced with the pressures, the cares of the world, the need to have something to eat and have things to wear and have a place to live, instead of casting his or her cares on God who provides, instead of hearing the words of Jesus to not be anxious, but to bring these things to a Father who loves you and provides for you. Instead of hearing the words of Paul explicitly to not be anxious, but that in everything, as you face the cares of the world, in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving to present your requests to God again and again and again, so that the peace of God would guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. The thorny ground here just lets them rise up and pile up, swirl around in the mind. Undealt with. Not seen as dangerous to your soul. Not seen as something that could ultimately prove your ruin. Just left. Or maybe even pursued actively. Just pour your life and energy into those things, getting food, nice food, good food, better food, nice clothes, good clothes, better clothes, a nice place to live, a bigger place to live, a more comfortable place to live. Things that are not in and of themselves sinful or wicked, when they are not clearly, explicitly, and consistently pressed down under the lordship of Jesus Christ and made to serve and exalt Him and Him alone, grow up as thorn bushes around the plant of apparent faith and ultimately choke it out. We need to take these things seriously. Don't brush them off. One of the clearest signs of a thorny ground here is to just go, like, cares? Riches? That's whatever. Pleasures? It's not a problem for me. I got it. I'm good. I'm not pursuing sins that everyone can see. This parable warns us of the dangers. You spend a lot of time in front of the mirror, just making sure everything's just right. Looking at the window as you walk down the road, looking in the mirrors as you go past, always checking that reflection. Yeah, it's looking pretty good. That small. And it can choke out the Word of God such that it bears no fruit in your life. Second is riches. Riches. The other Gospels have that extra phrase there, specifically the deceitfulness of riches. But riches are another thorny bush that's been there from the beginning but allowed to grow up and ultimately choke out the Word of God in this person. Now, a lot of us think, oh, we don't deal with riches. It's not a problem for us. We don't have a whole lot of stuff. Well, this could be you right here because you're saying that. It's not a problem for me. I don't have a lot. But inside that greedy covetousness that never rejoices when a friend or brother gets that raise, gets a new vehicle, it's a new place. Just, why do they get that? Not me. Covetousness is just allowed to stew below the surface, wanting just what they have. I don't have it, so I don't have to worry about the dangers and deceitfulness of riches. Meanwhile, it's subtly and silently tearing apart your soul while you just leave that covetousness and greed to kind of stew there under the surface, undealt with, undressed. Maybe it's more overt for you. Maybe you have a lot of money and you're like, no, it's just a blessing from God. You're deaf to the abundant warnings in the Word of God. The dangers of the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The dangers of letting possessions be what your life consists of. The dangers of having a lot of stuff and not having it explicitly, intentionally, and universally under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Thinking, you're strong enough. You got, I can handle the riches. I just work really hard. I deserve to have all this stuff. Putting your hope subtly, not explicitly, but day in and day out, week in and week out, year in and year out, in your own hard work, in your own paycheck, in your own bank account, thorns and thistles growing up. It's a slow process. See, I'm not like those people on TV, you know, they win the lottery and they go buy all kinds of stuff and they're just drowning in their wealth and their pools. And so I'm not that, so I don't have to worry about this. Remember the slowness. Those thorns and thistles, they've been there. They've been allowed. It's not a danger for me. Over time, they choke out the word. And there is no fruit. And therefore, there is no saving faith. And some of you younger people, you're like, riches, like, I don't even work yet. You have possessions already. This can happen with a pair of running shoes. When I was a kid, I spent hours and hours with catalogs making the lists of all the remote control airplane stuff I wanted. I never once owned a remote control airplane, but I cultivated a greed and a covetousness over extended periods of time with all my lists of what I would have, writing it down, looking at it again and again and again. If you think a Sears catalog or whatever there are these days is not a danger to your soul potentially, you've not read the Bible. You're not aware of this. You're just scrolling through Verarsale. What might I want? What might be there for me? What could I get? It's just stuff. It's cheap. Riches aren't a danger for me. I'm thrifty. Brothers and sisters, don't forget. Friends, don't forget that warning. Life and eternity hang in the hearing of the word of God, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches have the potential, undealt with, to choke out the fruit of faith in your life and expose that there's no saving grace in you at all. Watch out for those Christmas lists. Watch out for excessive watching of shows about bigger and better houses or nicer and newer renovations. Can a Christian ever watch something like that and benefit from it? Of course they can. But we're fools. We are fools if we don't hear this word. Those things can ultimately choke out the fruit of the word and leave us as graceless, unredeemed people thinking that we are. Finally, is this category in Luke of just pleasures of life. Mark uses a little bit more of a neutral term, just of desires. So work pleasures, it's not inherently sinful pleasures, and yet usually in the scriptures it's used of those kinds of passions and pleasures that are allowed to just rise up inordinately and pull us off after other things. What is it in the subtleties of the pleasures of life that is like thorns growing up that choke out the word of God, leaving it fruitless in us? Here I think it's fundamentally, and we see it with the riches as well, it's that we're satisfied in the little things. We're satisfied with that new purchase. Makes us feel good. We're satisfied with that nice place we went to eat. we're satisfied with that new piece of furniture or that vehicle or that vacation or that nice afternoon together. You see the subtlety of it. It's not each of those things individually. It's the deceitfulness of those pleasures that leave us satisfied with the gifts and ignoring the giver. Remember, this individual thinks themselves to be a Christian. And yet, as they pursue pleasures in the world, they're not pursuing pleasure in God. They're satisfied. They have fun. It was a fun event. I had fun with my friends. I had fun. And you notice, again, it's crowding out the word. All my time, all my affection, all my energies is going towards these things instead of going towards God. It's going after these things instead of going after God. It's allowing them to rise up in our lives instead of dealing with them as God has intended and making them to serve Him. See the subtlety of all these things. Are you a thorny ground here? You know, a lot of thorny ground hears, you might have a moment every now and then where like, I'm in this thing. I come to church and it's true. Just haven't really seen any growth in this area or this area. I wonder what's wrong. And then off you go. Back to Netflix. Back to that project at home. Back to pour yourself into work. And the thorns grow up and they grow in. They choke the word. Why am I not profiting from the word of God? Why doesn't it bear fruit in my life? I wonder what we're going to have for lunch. I wonder what we could do this afternoon. I wonder what I'll get for Christmas. So what do we do? There's three areas that this word might have come to this morning. One is that this word has come and it's beginning, though maybe you are resisting, it's beginning to expose you as the thorny ground here. You begin to hear this description of cares and riches and pleasures and the lack of fruitfulness, and you're, that might be me. Or maybe you're sitting here and you're going, that's definitely me. For others of you, you hear these things and you hear the danger. Praise the Lord. You hear the subtleties and it's exposed. Maybe you've seen an area of your life. I need to go there. I need to work there. I cannot allow these things to grow up and thrive in my life. Others, you've been hearing this word and you've just been praising God. Oh, you see that you need growth, but you've been praising God for His genuine work of grace in your life. And you continue to go hard after Him. I think the best way to expose this in our life and to pursue the way out is to do the things in dependence upon the Spirit of God that the thorny ground here will never do. It's to do the things in dependence on the Spirit of God that the thorny ground here will never do. And you might, in pursuing them, see that in your life there's just a total absence of grace as you pursue them. Praise God, cast yourself on Him, come to Him in genuine repentance agree with him about the sins that you've allowed to grow up, that you've not addressed the cares of the world in a biblical and godly way, that riches has deceived you, that pleasures are enough for you. You don't really need God. You are happy with his gifts. Repent and turn to Jesus Christ. He is sufficient to save you from this. Now here's the areas that I want you to think on today and to pursue. Beware. Beware the danger of agreeing with the sermon every week. Am I saying you really start disagreeing? That's going to help? No. Be aware of the danger of agreeing with the sermon every week. Be aware of reading your Bible and agreeing with what it says. Be aware of having a Bible study and agreeing with what you see there. Why? Agreeing with the Word of God never helped or changed anyone ever. This Word is for you to trust. It's for you to bank your life on. This word is to pierce to the very division of bone and marrow in your life. This word is to expose your sin so that you cast yourself on Christ. This word is to be sweetness of taste in your mouth like honey on your tongue. Beware of sitting here for 1 year, 10 years, or 20 years and agreeing with what you hear. Remember what happens. Cares of the world, riches, and pleasures, they choke the word. You sit here, that's true. And then you walk out there, and your mind is consumed with your work, with your family, with wanting this thing or that thing, with your awesome exercise plan and how it's really doing a lot of good stuff here, and I'm just going to go check one more time. Yep. It's looking good. I'm just going to go on my Instagram and see how many people liked my picture. I'm just going to go back to that catalog and look a little bit more. Like, is that exactly the thing I want? Or you see the potential. I agreed with it and then I walk out and it does nothing in my life. Because all these things have been allowed to grow up and choke out the word. Beware the danger of agreeing with the sermon week in and week out. Secondly, beware of putting off without putting on. Beware of putting off without putting on. The thorny ground here will often have rejected, even come out of overt, heinous, ugly sins. Maybe they were a thief and they've stopped stealing and now they're sitting in church and they're like, I'm good to go. But the Bible says that we are to repent of our thievery and do what? Put that off and then work hard so that we would have something to share with others. Something goes in its place. The thorny ground here rarely does this. They want to, I don't want to get into that sin. That's going to look bad. It's going to make me feel bad. It's going to ting my conscience a little bit. So off. Just push that down. But nothing goes in its place. Put on compassionate hearts, kindness, loving and forgiving one another. Beware of putting off without putting on. The last thing I want to look at this morning is the call to kill sin. You see, the thorny ground here deals with externals fairly well, right? Remember, they're a plant. They look good. They've convinced themselves and others that they're a believer in some capacity. I'm okay. I'm not in an adulterous relationship. I'm not on the news for embezzling all kinds of stuff from my work. I haven't punched anyone in a while. right? But the thorny ground here doesn't have a biblical doctrine of sin. The thorny ground here thinks either with disdain or indifference on the words of Jesus to gouge out eyes and cut off hands and lop off feet. The thorny ground here thinks of sin as kind of something out there that I don't want to get my hands dirty with, but not something that needs to be attacked in here. The thorny ground here does not understand the words in Romans chapter 8 to put to death the deeds of the body, and in so doing you will live. And if you do not, you will perish eternally. That's why the thorny ground here lets those things just grow up. Never deeply and thoroughly and universally repented of sin in your life. And when you see that pop up again, you don't get in there with a tool and dig it out and pull it up by the roots and go lay it out in the sun and watch it die. Friends, we must be killing sin. Don't make friends with it. You see the thorny ground here? It's all growing up together. Cares of the world, riches, pleasures of life. Oh well, not a big deal. Don't got to worry about those. And its fruit does not mature. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is grace that your word divides people. It divides us in this room into those who are good soil and those who are not. Father, would we hear with faith this morning. Father, would we take care how we hear this morning? Father, would we not be thorny ground hearers? But would your word bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold? In Jesus we pray. Amen.